You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Well, welcome inside the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starkville. Here on a Friday night, Bulldogs have just won 13-3 in seven innings over Alabama. I'm Bart Gregory, along with Charlie Winfield, and we are in the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starkville.
We're back together, man.
It's been a while since we've been kind of sitting in the same place. Farm Bureau, go with the home team at Farm Bureau. Check them out at favorites.com. They have agents all across Mississippi. Home, life, auto, whatever you need in the insurance world. They're great Farm Bureau agents at Mississippi Farm Bureau. Well, Charlie, yeah, man. Feels weird to kind of be sitting in the studio where I can see you.
Well, it's good to be back together and talking some baseball. I do feel like what I'm about to say will be proven true. I don't think us hosting a regional is the slam dunk idea that it is starting to gather. People are kind of getting like, hey, we're hosting again.
Got a long way to go.
But I do think we are in the conversation. We're pushing ourselves into that conversation. Now, as the friendly folks of Nashville can tell you, winning on a Friday doesn't guarantee you're winning a series. But if you could get some good pitching tomorrow, go out and win one more, and you know that you got this series in the bag, I don't even want to start thinking about sweeping. But you move closer. And what that means is baseball is going to be fun to talk about. And I expect we're going to have a lot more talk in baseball with a shot at postseason play. And then here's what I want to see. Are we going to be the team that goes to Hoover needing and wanting to win baseball games to try to solidify? I don't know. This could be fun, man.
Well, now we won 9 out of 10 games, and you're playing yourself into something where you got a chance. You know, the thing about Alabama is their RPI is 15 coming into this weekend. Ours was 24 coming into this weekend. So you've got another quad one win with a win tonight. And so now you come back at it tomorrow, 2 o'clock. And I'm not sure. You know, the weather is crazy the rest of the weekend. I don't know if you play at 2 tomorrow and – at 2 tomorrow and then 1 o'clock on Sunday, I think a lot of things are probably going to be in play here.
Now, you and I have asked the question, which is, what's the chances of a doubleheader tomorrow? You and I have been ignored.
So far.
No, that's fair. I pulled like a classic reporter thing. Calls were not immediately returned.
But I will say this, Charlie.
Right now, your RPI is 19, as we sit here. Now, games are still being played tonight, but.
Yeah, and you've only got a couple games left in the league right now. Auburn's about to lose to Ole Miss. Man, Butch and them are having a tough time right now. And so, South Carolina beat Missouri. Arkansas won 10-3 tonight at Kentucky. And so, that series right there is probably going to determine who's the one seed in the SEC tournament. Tennessee and Florida split a doubleheader. Georgia beat Vanderbilt 10-0 over in Athens tonight. LSU and A&M are still playing. LSU's ahead right now down in Alex Box, and so but that could change with that LSU bullpen. But what we were able to do tonight, you knew what you were going to get from Cal Steven. In the first four innings, he was outstanding. Kind of ran into a buzzsaw there in the fifth. The thing about us is we have really struggled at the plate at times. Even on Wednesday night against Ole Miss, you know, you get late in the game, you've only got one run, you had to score four at the bottom of the eighth inning to win that game against Ole Miss, and at times our offense has kind of gone stagnant. But tonight, you know, Hunter Hines, big three-run home run in the first inning. You look back at that first inning, Mershon able to beat out what could have been a double play, and they did a good job with Eblen trying to turn that at second base. And then I thought one of the big at-bats of the game, and Charlie, you know, you and I talk about this all the time, when things do not go our way. We had a call that went our way, in the first inning tonight on a 3-2 pitch to Dakota. I mean, it was a letter-high fastball, but that's probably, you know, more times than not called a strike. But they give him the walk, and then Hunter Hines, the next batter up on a 1-2 pitch, hits a 3-run home run, and boom, the game changes.
Fifth home run in 4 games for him.
Wow. Then he hits another one later, and Bryce Chance hits a big home run, and then Amani Larry hits the grand slam, and you're up 12-0. You know, and then Cal, you know, ran into that little trouble there in the fifth inning, gives up back-to-back singles. We lost the ball. You know, you won't say lost the ball in the lights, but you really don't lose the ball in the lights. You lost the ball that went over the lights.
Yeah, boy, we could have some talks about those lights, couldn't we?
Yeah. Those lights got the covers on them. And
that was the thing. If you go back to most ballparks, there are lights pointing up.
Yeah.
Meaning there are lights that are set specifically to illuminate balls in the air. We don't have any of those.
Yeah. I don't know if Musco, you know, put those in the package when they put that lighting in. Yeah.
We didn't go for the deluxe option. We didn't get the limited edition.
We got the base model. Yeah, you know, we got the ones that dance a little bit when you hit the home runs, but they don't change colors, you know. But didn't have fireworks tonight.
Well, I guess that was probably
just a one-shot deal. We spent a lot of money on that Friday night when Super Bowl all weekend.
You know who always has fireworks, Bart?
Who's that?
I don't know.
That's our good friends, Strange Brew Coffee. Start your day with fireworks.
There we go. I like it.
Yeah, Strange Brew Coffee House.
Sound more of the setup, man.
Yeah. Spring Street and Highway 12. And then Tupelo, they got Brewpelo. And down in Tuscaloosa, too. And Shane and I, we were actually texting back and forth. And you know, it's been much talked about. I've been on the road. And I think someone actually thought that Shane and I were going to open up a coffee place in Edinburgh, Scotland. Edinburgh, whatever.
Well, you were still catching some heat in my world about saying that old Edinburgh?
Spelled Edinburgh. Spell like Edinburgh with a H, but yeah. It's Edinburgh.
For referring to that as Gatlinburg with old churches or something like that.
Well, what I meant by that was it's a very touristy area in Old Town. So you got Old Town, Edinburgh, which is the top of the hill. You got the castle up there, which is unbelievable. They started building that thing in like 1100, all right? Now, I mean, you talk about old buildings. That's an old building. Then they have New Edinburgh, which was actually built in the 1700s. James Craig was a city architect, put that together. And that's where we were. That's a pretty cool area. Yeah. And then we went to Copenhagen. And I don't want to bore you with travel right now, Charlie, but I'm high on the Copenhagen stock right now. If you Google
Wait a minute. If I'm familiar with their laws, I'm not sure that high on in Copenhagen or – I'm not sure that's the phrase you want to leave people with.
No, high. We went through Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, that's where you don't want to be high on the Amsterdam stock.
No, Amsterdam is just – I mean, people from New Orleans go to Amsterdam and go, dadgum, y'all need to clean it up a little bit. I mean, it's Copenhagen is the nicest place I've ever been. I mean, that place is awesome.
I'm gonna have to – man, that one's going to stick with me a little while.
Yeah, we're going to open up a Strange Brew in Copenhagen, too. So, anyway, Strange Brew Coffee House.
That's better than opening up some Copenhagen and Strange Brew.
I am not the only guy from Illinois that likes Copenhagen. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, man.
Well, hey, good win tonight.
You know who else has good wins?
Well, I'll tell you who has good wins. All the restaurants out there that use our good friends at Heartland Catfish. They win in the catfish world every time they serve catfish. And you can get some of that great catfish at Fan and Johnny's over in Greenwood. You've been to Fan and Johnny's. I know you have. You've got some great places over in Greenwood.
No, I'm going to confess that I have not, but you I have need not? To do that.
Okay, so Taylor Ricketts, great chef. I have been to Fan and Johnny's. Taylor Ricketts is an awesome chef over there in Greenwood. And Greenwood's got some really good restaurants, really does. But Fan and Johnny's, hey, take my word for it. Go by there, ask for the fish, the catfish. She gets it from our good friends at Heartland Catfish over in the Mississippi Delta just past Greenwood. And they have it in their farms, in their ponds, their pond farms. And it's all the way to your plate. And so our good friends at Heartland Catfish. Charlie, looks like we're going to make Hoover. That's the positive. And so you start.
Well, you would think that's a pretty low hurdle, but as we've learned, you still got to jump it.
You do have to jump it. And I think over the, after the last 2 years, just getting to Hoover is going to be a big deal for for our fan base. Hey, here's the thing I want to take from tonight. And I think one of the things that gets lost when you win a game like we did, when you jump out 12-0, is Alabama's a pretty good baseball team. I mean, this is a team that's been hot offensively. You know, we talk about Cal Steven kind of running into that buzzsaw in the fifth inning. I mean, Alabama in the last 10 games had had double-digit hits in all 10 of those games. And they'd also hit a home run in each of those 10 games. And 9 of the 10, they'd hit multiple home runs. And so this is an offensive team at Alabama that's been scoring some runs lately. And so for Cal to come out and kind of, you know, weather the storm there a little bit early, gave up a base hit in the first inning, settled in after that, gave up some fly balls. Now, here's the thing about, you know, starting pitcher tonight for Alabama. He was a left-hander, big dude. We've had our troubles with left-handed pitching. But he's been almost 2-1 as far as fly out to ground out. He's not a ground ball style of pitcher. And that's the one thing that I look at with this Alabama pitching staff, even though their numbers are okay, they're not a ground ball pitching staff. They throw a lot of fly ball outs. And for us, I would rather see that than some guy up there throwing with sink and just pounding balls in the ground.
And I don't know. I want to go back when the season's over and look at the numbers and see if this is just in my head. But it feels exactly what you just said is true, that the worst thing we could ever get is a guy with sink, and we're just going to wear a second baseman out with ground balls. Tonight, though, you start to look at it, 7 flyouts, 6 ground outs. We only struck out 3 times in the game. And that is, you go back to last Friday when we played up at Vanderbilt. Of course, we get beat and don't do. We only had 2 hits in the game. We only struck out 4 times. Only struck out 3 times tonight. Walked 5. Hey, here's the other thing about Ferone, though, their starting pitcher you were talking about. Only once this year has he given up as many as 4 runs, and that was in the ball game against Texas A&M. This is a guy who has been consistently going out there and throwing between 75 and 93 pitches a game and giving up less than 3 runs in the process. Today he throws 74. He lasts only 3 innings, and I guess 3-plus because he faced a batter in the 4th.
Gave up a home run in the 4th.
But he gives up 7 runs that are all earned on 7 hits.
Mm.
Now, here's what's crazy, too. How about this? So he has 74 pitches, 50 are strikes. So if I give you that, you would say, hey, he was around the strike zone. He's a guy who's a strike thrower. But he had a wild pitch and 2 hit batters and 2 walks. It was a weird game.
Yeah, it just wasn't real sharp. All right, so put the bow on this one, 13-3. We're now 13-9 in the SEC. And still in the top third of the league right now.
Do you realize that if you win the next 2, you've guaranteed yourself a .500 record in the league with 6 games still to go?
All right, so, you know, sometimes we're overreactionary. And if you'd have told me after we're sitting here, after losing a game in the opening weekend of the season, who do we even play? It was Air Force. We lost to Air Force, and then you lose 2 games to Austin Peay. If you'd have told me at that time that this team would be 13-9 in the SEC, I never would have believed it. I mean,
I never
would have believed it. So, yeah, hey, 13-3. We come back tomorrow, play at 2 o'clock. You going to the Wiener Dog races in the morning?
Well, I probably should, weather permitting.
Yeah, weather. What time does all this start?
Well, Bart, I'm glad you asked, because that is one of the things going on in Starkville, the Starkville Derby. It's going to be held down in the Cotton District, all ages and all dogs.
That's what, all ages of dogs or just all ages?
I think it's all ages and dogs, I suppose dogs of any age, tomorrow at 9 to 2:30.
Okay. And the reason I ask that is because to be in the Kentucky Derby, which is tomorrow as well, you got to be a 3-year-old horse.
Have you ever been?
I have not. I actually want to go, but I have not been to the Kentucky Derby. But I've had a lot of friends that have gone and said it's a pretty awesome experience. Now, I think it's a lot like Talladega. Okay.
Okay. Wait a minute. Now, you just thought the old Edinburgh comment had people going.
No, I mean, because the
Churchill Downs is a lot like Talladega. That's what you're saying.
Well, from what I understand, the infield gets a little out of hand.
I don't know anybody, and I never have. I've never been to one. But when I see people dress up for Kentucky Derby parties, I've never seen anyone dressed like that at Talladega.
No, what I'm saying is the people who are in the infield, I heard it's a big party, and it's like it's over the top crazy. Now, the people who are sitting, you know, with the upper crest, who are actually, you know, in the seats, are a little bit different than the fan base at Talladega. I'm just saying what goes on inside the track may be a little similar without the Bush Light and the –
It's a higher class of party, or is it not, in the infield?
No, I think it's just a full-fledged craziness.
Really?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's just crazy fast. All right, so the Wiener Dog races tomorrow morning.
Will Bob Baffert have a horse in the race tomorrow?
I think he's banned, did he?
You know what? That's a good question.
I think he's banned tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, he will miss another.
Yeah, and so I don't know. They're thinking about it maybe extending that to next year.
What did he do? Did he dope up some horses or something?
Probably shot them up with something.
You know what? Let's steer clear of any libel suits against Mr. Baffert.
Probably.
Career.
I'm just saying it's allegedly, okay, is the word you want to use there. All right, one of the things that – okay, so you got that going on. Of course, if you're coming into town tomorrow, go to startville.org. And if you want to make some reservations for restaurants tomorrow night, you got a baseball game at 2 o'clock tomorrow, so hopefully you get a good dinner tomorrow night.
Here we go, real quick. In July of 23 – Churchill Downs tacked on another year to Baffert's two-year suspension from the race after the 2021 Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit, trained by Baffert, the Arizona native, failed a post-race drug test and was later disqualified.
Okay. He did not consult with Barry Bonds about that masking agent.
Now, see, again, you're allegedly.
Allegedly. So that's what I'm saying. Okay, so one thing that was not alleged.
You think like the head size of his horses grew?
Yeah, that horse was a big difference when it was 2 year olds and 3 year olds. Hey, listen, did you see where the M Club announced the Hall of Fame class?
Hey, I have some news, by the way, real quick, as it relates to scheduling. And that is, check local listings tomorrow in the morning to see whether we're going to have any kind of slide in the game. Whether we move something up, et cetera.
Yeah, that could happen because all the games are SEC Network Plus this weekend. You get me and Charlie for all three of the games.
Sorry.
That means you don't have a hard start with any of the games. If this game was an SEC Network game at 4 o'clock, you know, the network's going to want you to hold that to 4 o'clock, and then you got to kind of play around that. So the games can be moved around this weekend.
All right, now you were about to hit on something that interests me greatly, and that is the – Elm Club Sports Hall of Fame, class of 2024.
And so, putting seven in the class, Danny Knight, you and I remember Danny Knight.
Number 22.
Outstanding.
Danny Knight played on those teams. He was a freshman in 80, and so he played basically the John Bond years.
Yeah.
Danny Knight was fun to watch play, man.
You put Danny Knight and John Bond in the same backfield. That's one of the reasons that John Bond kind of got – You know, he had some lanes to run in because there were some teams that you had to play for Danny Knight, too.
Yeah, Knight was kind of that – you could throw it to him. You could do all kinds of stuff with Danny Knight.
All right, so you got Danny Knight going in, Bobby Reed. You know, of course, Bobby Reed just went into the Ron Polk Ring of Honor this year, 1988 to 1990. I'm about to say something, and I promise you, do not take this in any kind of negative way at all. Please don't. I saw Bobby Reed in here. I saw Porkchop Womack in here. I saw Kiefer McGee in here. And it was all kind of the same thought process with me.
You mean they're not already in?
How are they not already in? That was the thing that Bobby Reed played here in 1990. That guy never lost a game here. That guy was
not in
this stadium, not at Duty Noble. I mean, he won to what, 24 games? Was it 24-0, 26-0, whatever it was? And so Bobby Reed just now going into the Mississippi State Sports Hall of Fame. Hey, and I'm not demeaning that in any way. I'm just saying I'm just kind of surprised this hadn't happened already. Porkchop Womack? I mean, Porkchop Womack was big time. in 97 to 2000 here. You know, Porchop played at he was over at Cleveland Eastside. I tell you about that. I did a ball game one time. That was one of my first years of doing radio. Is Louisville was playing Cleveland Eastside. Eastside was unbeaten. And I did the game on the radio that night, and they had Dorsett Davis. They had Kenyatta Lucas, who ended up going to Ole Miss, mm-hmm. played in the pros as well. And then they had Porchop Womack, too. That was one of the first high school football games I ever
That's
did.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, I know. And then Kiefer McGee, man. And it's so hard to believe, you know, our era, you know, Kiefer McGee was from nearby West Lowndes High School, was just an unreal talent. And, of course, had that tragic, you know, drowning in 1997. I remember where I was standing when I found out about Kiefer. But, man, he was such a good player. Blew out his ACL early in his career. Was a great teammate. Everybody you ever talked to was a great teammate. And so, 93-97, so Kiefer's going into the Mississippi State Sports, MSU Emma Club Hall of Fame. Jennifer Fambro. Jennifer Fambro Jordan now. Played at State 1999 to 2003. And, you know, she came here as a freshman the year before I got here. But I always thought that Jennifer Fambro, and of course, you know how much I love LaToya. LaToya is awesome, a great player. And I'm not comparing Jennifer Fambro to LaToya. But when Sharon Fanning brought in Jennifer Fambro from Dixon, Tennessee in 1999, that's really what started the turn. And we went to the NCAA tournament. And then LaToya comes in the next year, and we got even better. And then Tan comes in 2 years, and they got even better. But I thought Jennifer Fambro, who had that great freshman year in 1999, really began to turn the tide for women's basketball here.
Well, and you go back to the whole idea of kind of, man, figured they'd be in by now. She was named an SEC great in, like, 2008.
Yeah, I know.
And so, yeah, that's one. And then – Andy Jackson.
Yeah.
All right, so Andy Jackson coached women's tennis, and he coached men's tennis. And he is – man, if you were doing the list of most successful Mississippi State coaches.
I will say this. We've had a good tennis program for a long time. Tom Sawyer, you know, so many great players we had many, many, many years ago. But the thing that Andy Jackson did when he came here in the mid-1980s is he built a big-time pipeline to France. I mean, remember, we used to have some big-time players from France. Savon Guichard, who ended up being the head coach here. You know, Savon was a part of some of those really good teams for Andy back in the 1990s. He left here in 2001 and went to Florida. Remember that? And so he and Pat McMahon – left Mississippi State and went to Florida within like a week or two of each other. And so Andy was a really good coach. Aya McMichael, that's another one, to be honest with you. I'm kind of surprised that Aya McMichael has not been put in the Hall of Fame. Three-time All-American, the number one overall pick in the, you know, professional softball draft, 2001-2004. So you talk about it, that's about as good. I mean, if you want to rank a Hall of Fame class – that one is pretty daggum solid. Bobby Reed, Aya McMichael, Andy Jackson, Danny Knight, Porkchop Womack, Kiefer McGee, and Jennifer Fambro, Jennifer Fambro Jordan. That's seven solid right there. And so, man, that's – you know who else is solid? Seven deep, Charlie? At least seven deep, and that's our good friends at Country Pleas and Sausage. They got at least seven different kinds that are big-time big hitters too. Of course, they got the jalapeno cheddar, and they got the regular. But, man, blueberry maples out there. You got pork and pineapple. You got a crawfish. You got the jalapeno and green onion. You got at least seven different kinds in there.
Well, you have andouille.
You have andouille.
You have the Cajun style.
Yes.
You have the pepper jack and green onion.
Three cheese. Did mind to mention the three cheese.
And then, you know, I'm kind of a fan of the juniors.
Yeah, I like the juniors too.
Did you get jalapeno and pineapple, pork and alligator?
Didn't say the alligator, but it's in there as well. I actually like
I've not had the jalapeno and pineapple. I've had the pork and pineapple.
Yeah.
I had the green onion. I've not had the jalapeno and pineapple.
Yeah, it's all good stuff, man.
Black pepper cheddar is really good.
Black pepper cheddar is really good. And I'm telling you, man, over in over where I was, over in Edinburgh and then in Denmark too, man. They would love that country pleasing sausage. And so it's made right here in the state of Mississippi, down at Country Meat Packers on Highway 49 in Florence. The butcher shop is outstanding. I mean, it is phenomenal. They can even dry some steaks for you down there. And so our good friends, Country Meat Packers, Henry Cooper, man, just can't beat old Henry. And our good friends at Country Pleasing Sausage. And also, Charlie, when I was talking about this the other day, when we were driving through, you know, Scotland, seeing all the fields out there being planted right now, I thought of our good friends at Nutrien Ag Solutions. You know, Nutrien, they're busy right now over here in the Black Belt in East Mississippi.
There we go.
Yeah. Every time I bring up the Delta, you're like, what about our folks over here, man? And so, man, DynaGrow Seed, made to perform on your acres, proven track record year after year. DynaGrow Seeds delivering innovative solutions to maximize your local acreage. And so whether it be soybeans, whether it be wheat, whether it be corn, they're putting it in the ground right now, getting it ready for the growing season. And so book your seed today at your local Nutrien Ag Solutions or visit DynaGrowSeed.com to learn more. Good friends, Bubba Morris, Jeff Tarsi, and the whole gang at Nutrien Ag Solutions.
Hey, have you ever tried to grow broccoli?
Yes.
I was trying to think of something that you may not have ever tried to plant that we could have a fair discussion on. You know,
yeah,
cauliflower.
I have done that. You know, that's early. You better have that in the ground already because that's kind of cool seasons, like turnips.
So I need to be focusing on my warm season vegetables.
That is correct right now. You can go ahead and start putting some tomatoes in the ground, some peppers.
You know what I used to hate? I used to hate.
Shelling peas?
Yeah, like snap peas and just peas in general.
Snap beans are not hard because you can just snap them. But, man, I used to hate shelling butter beans and peas.
There is nothing that tastes that good that can be that worth that much work.
And you're sitting there for 2 hours, man, shelling peas, and all of a sudden you're looking, you got just a little old bucket full.
Yeah, it's like, what are we doing here?
Oh, I know. It's
And that was the kind of thing like your grandmother makes you do and just wears you out, not her hands that are getting sore.
Yeah. Man, that was the good old days right there. That was
watermelons better be in the ground by now, huh?
Watermelons, yeah, can be in the ground by now. You know, down in Smith County, I guarantee you they're growing them right now. And so I'm not growing watermelons yet. I'm a kind of a late watermelon type guy. I grow yellow-meter watermelons, red-meter watermelons. Anyway, I don't think they've got those with DynaGrow Seeds, though.
Well, if anybody has any peas, what do you call it, shelled?
Shelled peas.
You've already done that. Hit me up. I wouldn't mind some corn if you want to share some.
It's not ready yet. They're just getting it in the ground. Hey, if you're coming to Starkville tomorrow, don't forget, if you're going to the Wiener Dog races or you're coming to the ballpark, go to Maroon & Company and get your Bulldog gear. Get your Bulldog.
Hey, time out. I have relevant news about Maroon & Company.
Sure.
All right. And if you haven't gotten one, I want you to email me. If you're a member of the Bulldog Initiative, email me, cwinfield@bulldog.ms, because I want to be sure that you have your membership card, downloaded your mobile wallet, whether it's Google, Android. You got to be an iPhone guy, but that's okay. Got your iPhone. You're going to get a membership card in your wallet, just like you use tickets. And what you do is, when you have said membership card, it'll be able to update. So every time you come to Starkville, when our sponsors, if they got something that they've got going and they're willing to help us, you're going to be able to click on that and you're going to see what they are. And, for example, this week, you got two things going. Our friends at Two Brothers are giving you 10% off. So go in there, eat a lot, drink a lot, show them your membership card.
Get some of those wings.
They'll be able to click on it and make sure you're not just kind of messing with them.
Make sure you're not screenshotting.
Yeah. And on the back, you've got a way to tap here to activate your coupon. Don't do it as you're testing because you could. It's a one-time thing, okay?
Right.
But the other thing that's on there is you can save 15%. Think about that. 15% off at Maroon & Company. Go in there, say, hey, I am a Bulldog Initiative member. I'm activating my discount right here. You can show them the screen. They can accept it, and you save money. And why are we doing that? Well, we want to help. We want to try to give back to the people who are helping us, and we want the people who are helping us to recognize the businesses who've been helping us, and Two Brothers right at the top of that list. I mean, And in addition, Maroon & Company, both those guys have just been incredible. Wyatt Craig and those guys at Maroon & Company, every single time I have called and said, man, we'd love some mugs. Man, I'd love a polo. Man, I'd like one a little bit different. Like overnight, he's in the lab doing stuff. They got good stuff. And
I need another polo now. I need a Bulldog Initiative polo. I gave mine away to some dude sitting on the street over in Scotland. I told you I was going to do that the other day.
Hey, I did. I was in North Carolina and was at a local establishment. Got to talking with this group of people. There were some guys from Tennessee. I had on a Bulldog Initiative shirt. There was a guy from New Jersey there. And I said, hey, I'm working on my color-coded map of the U.S. I need a donor in New Jersey. Now, he's sticking with us so far. He had no Mississippi State. He's not a grad. Just met him in North Carolina. He's now a member.
Really?
He is a $50 a month member.
That's what I'm talking about.
So I need everybody else to spread the word, kind of like that.
I really didn't give my Bulldog Initiative quarter zip to somebody.
I really did, though, sign up somebody at the Big Pillow Brewery.
I didn't. I was kind of embarrassed. I didn't know how to get, I didn't know how to start the conversation with a guy that didn't fully understand what I was trying to say. So, anyway, our good friends at Maroon & Company in the Cotton Mill Marketplace, you can order everything they have online at maroonandco.com. All right, anything else for the good of the cause? Other than, I will say this, firsthand experience, I love doing things every now and then that you just roll your eyes about, that you look at me in just complete disgust. Because you're just pressing the buttons of knowing what just frustrates the heck out of you.
Uh-oh.
And tonight was one of those nights.
Which one?
As I was trying to call the Imani Larry Grand Slam, and I've got a cracker that I'm trying to feed to that dove that's sitting on the windowsill, and you're looking at me like, what are you doing? If you're heading home from the ballpark, we had a dove that sat on the ledge 3 feet from Charlie for an hour. Literally, it was a solid hour that dove sat there. That was the dangest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was. And so then when I started trying to feed it the cracker, now I was going to feed it cheese because I had a piece of cheese in there. And so then I looked online, and I actually Googled this as I'm broadcasting the ball game. Can you feed cheese to a dove? And that's when I found out that they're actually lactose intolerant, that you're not supposed to feed cheese to doves. And so then I actually sent a text to somebody saying, hey, can you bring me a cracker? And so they brought me a cracker. And so as I'm trying to feed the dove, now somebody who was sitting on the top row of the upper level got a couple crackers that probably went down their shirt or on the top of their head because I missed the ledge. But that daggum dove never did come that far to eat that cracker.
So that got me, though, during a between-inning break, to trying to Google doves in baseball. And a few things came up. The first is, and I didn't talk about this on the broadcast, Randy Johnson
hit the dove
and disintegrated a dove with a baseball. But then that brought up the Boston Doves. The Boston Doves were a major league franchise, and a few things jumped out at me. 1907, they lost 90 games, did the Boston Doves, finishing ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals, by the way. But the bright spot came when Big Jeff Pfeffer pitched a no-hitter against the Cincinnati Reds. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then 1908, the 38th season of the Boston Doves franchise, New York Giants manager John McGraw made fun of a Doves player, a guy who had been on the Giants before, by calling him an ice wagon. And I just thought that was kind of
an ice wagon.
Interesting thing to use, because there's that I hadn't heard probably that meant something back then, delivering ice. And then 1909, they set a record that still stands. Most games behind first place in any season since 1900, they were 65.5 games out behind the World Series champion, Pittsburgh Pirates.
Huh. Well, that dove had a catbird seat tonight. I mean, it was right behind the plate, sitting up there with us, turned and looked at us a couple times. You know, tried to jump in the booth one time, and Jacob, the camera guy, Jacob does a great job. Jacob kind of had to shoo him back.
You called him Caleb, I think, on air, by the way.
I called him Caleb on the air, and because Caleb is usually up there as with us as well. I've been called Brent my whole life, and so, I mean, but I will say this, Jacob just rolled with it, even though I did call him Caleb. But anyway, I'm sorry, Charlie.
By the way, the Boston Doves became the Boston Braves.
And then the Boston Braves became the Milwaukee Braves. Is that right? Did the Milwaukee Braves became the Atlanta Braves? Was that the succession?
Yeah, they moved to Milwaukee in 1952.
I'm telling you, man. I know my Braves trivia. No, I really don't. I still don't like the Braves. Hey, enjoyed it. We'll be back in here on Sunday for Sunday Coffee. We didn't have a chance to do a preview show for the weekend. Had 24 straight hours yesterday, Charlie. And so, to be honest with you, first.
All right, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
If we were playing the Would You Rather game, okay? Would you rather spend all that time traveling and do what you did?
Yes.
Or do something more local?
What would I rather do? I'd rather travel.
And then my question is this. Would you rather spend 24 hours flying or one afternoon in Disney World?
Without doubt, 24 hours traveling. And Jen was sitting there going, man, you know, because I was like yesterday, the 10-hour flight from Amsterdam back to Atlanta. And she was like, this is brutal. I was like, let me tell you this. I've been on buses for 12 hours. And I would much rather, and this is not a knock, this is not a shot, I'm just saying, it's a lot smoother flight to be on a flight for 10 hours than being on a bus from Gainesville with Everett, right? It's a little bit different. You're not swaying back and forth. You're not, you don't have 50 guys on the bus.
I despise
a bus ride.
One of the things that is always interesting, people all the time, you know, want to travel with a team. I can't think of many things I would rather do less. I hate group travel. Like, so I would be much more likely to do what you did, which is to go. You guys went by yourselves. You weren't on a tour.
No, we were not on a tour.
You did what you wanted to do.
Let me tell you, man. Jen, that's one thing about it, man. We had an itinerary, though. I mean, detailed. I'd like to come in here. I'm telling you, man, I would buy stock right now in Copenhagen. I'd go back and spend a month there. Love it.
Really?
Yep. And Edinburgh. I like Edinburgh a lot, but I love Copenhagen. Anyway, hey, appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Friday night. We'll be back at the ballpark tomorrow at 2, and then Sunday-ish, probably. And anyway, Sunday Coffee on Sunday. Appreciate you hanging out with us.